governed by the things of this earth. And I'd like to encourage you with that thought this morning. I would like to encourage you to dig deeper into the power that God has for your life. And we so often find ourselves stuck rigidly in thinking that this life is all there is. Stuck so much so that we get depressed when we see the news. Blimey, it is depressing right now. No matter what channel you go onto, there's trouble around the world, there's trouble in our nation. And we can sometimes feel overcome by those things. This morning, I want you to be encouraged that you are victorious. There is enough power within the people that are in this room to change Sandy forever by the power of God. And yet we still put our feet on the ground and forget what that power is. The power of God to change everything. The joy of the Lord, which means that we can focus on something much higher, much wider, much deeper than the things that trouble us. And that's where I would like to encourage you this morning. I've not come down those miles and miles and miles of the A1 and struggled all morning to get to you that I can preach to you. I've come that real short distance from Little Paxton to encourage you. I've come this morning to serve you. I've come to applaud you. And I've come to help you to think higher than where you currently are thinking. I want to honour you. You know, when a wife steps up to this platform and says, I want to thank you for the prayers of my husband, that's a big deal. Because that family would have gone through trauma and difficulty and uncertainty. And well done, Tom, for coming through. Bless you. And I pray that God will shine his light upon you as a family and upon this church as you step forward. But, you know, every day that we live is an opportunity to express how much we love Jesus. Or not. Because we do so often get stuck in the things of this world. And when I come to speak in an organisation, a church or a school or whatever, I have my notes all before me. And then I look at them later and I think, didn't refer to them one bit. And I haven't even opened them this morning. So, hey, who knows what's going to be said. But before I turn to my notes, I want to say that I come this morning with greetings. Greetings from the fellowship at River Church. Rob said to me, we'll be praying for you this morning, Jim. And I thought, well, that's very nice. Am I going into the lion's den? What is such a big deal on coming to Sandy? But every prayer is important, and I say bring it on, because the kingdom of God is so much bigger than what we are stuck in. The other greeting I come with you this morning is from Good News for Everyone, who I happen to be involved with in the Huntington branch. And at the back of the church, I've left you with a magazine called Hope. This particular magazine is linked for people who are involved in sports and so forth. So, but take one if you think it will be of a help to you, or even give it away to someone else. Now, greetings. Done. Tick. But it's not just a greeting, is it? It's not just a greeting. I come today to say, in the name of Jesus, that there is greater works for you to do. Now, to do that, I'm going to shake you a little bit. I'm going to shake you all a little bit. To think about something that is more important than whether you had porridge for breakfast or cornflakes. So, that shaking, what's it going to look like? It's going to change where you're at forever. But you've got to buy into it. You've got to say, yes, I want that. I want more of God. When you say that to yourself, something amazing happens to you. The moment you say, on your knees, or when you're praising God, Lord, I want more of you, you will get a clobbering that you never really expected. The Holy Spirit that brings peace and love and comfort and joy will invade your life. You just got to say, Lord, I want more. So, Phil this morning said that in a week or two after half term, you're having a Bible study group. And you might think, oh, I'll go to that. Oh, but that's the night something's on television. Or that's when so-and-so's busy. I'm saying, change it. Because when you get together with 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, however many, and open the Word of God, you are going to be changed. So, but you've got to go. You've got to go. You've got to have your comfort zone shaken a bit and say, yeah, I'm going. I'm going. And when the Word is opened, you will read something like this. Verse 1, Philippians chapter 3. My beloved ones, don't ever limit the joy or fail to rejoice in the wonderful experience of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm going to say for me, I'm an absolute failure in that regard. An absolute failure. I will sort of get so focused in what is in my day that I forget this aspect, this joy of knowing God in me, God in you, the Holy Spirit in you. Whatever your battle might be on any given day, as soon as we choose that pathway, everything changes. And every day is different. Now, I'm going to put my notes on, if this thing works. And so we've already had our greeting. And I want to encourage you of every day. Now, my wife and I were very fortunate just recently to have a few weeks in January in Cyprus. Well, you might say, good for you, Jim. I haven't been outside of Sandy for 3 years. And the sun ain't shining here much. In fact, not much at all. But we have a tendency when we go on holiday to leave God wherever he is. And this holiday, my wife Pam and I decided, Lord, you're coming with us. And we packed our Bibles and we really wanted to see and touch and be touched by God. We didn't want to leave him at home in Little Paxton. We wanted him to come with us. We wanted to know Father God, Lord Jesus, what do you want for the next season in our lives together? Now, I'm 71, and that season's growing shorter and shorter. I can tell you, it's a struggle to go up the stairs sometimes. I recognise that I'm getting older. And, you know, that's the case with every single one of us. But we cannot forget that as we get older, we are victorious. We are overcomers. We are people of power. So don't leave God in a box somewhere. Take him wherever you're going. And we asked Father God, and we cried out to him, Lord, speak to us on this journey. And the first Sunday, we went to St. Paul's Anglican Cathedral in Nicosia. Now, we're not Anglicans, to be perfectly honest, but it was an English-speaking church, and we wanted to see what God was saying in the overall picture of our lives. And we arrived, and it was a lovely, sweet congregation. We were welcomed, cup of tea, just like we got today. Thank you very much. And we went into this set service, and I was thinking, Lord, what am I doing here? I want to hear from you. And we went through the service. It was a sung communion, and not my favourite type of service where there's a great deal of singing, because my voice happens to be probably the worst in the world. And it was good that I was sat there in the front and couldn't disturb anybody else this morning with that singing. But it came to the reading of the gospel, and a man who sat right at the top of the church, he picked up this cross and he walked down and he walked to the very centre of the church. That might be about the centre of the church. And every single person turned to look to the cross. Wherever they were in the building, they turned and they looked. And one thing that said to me, that was in that set service, the word of God was central to everything. Everybody honoured that reading. And when the reading was finished, they had something like, this is the word of God, and then everybody responds, thanks be to God. And I thought, wow, the 60 or 70 people that were in that building, and that spoke so much more to me than the overall service and the presentation and so forth. And the preacher was good and it was great. But putting the word of God central to everything. The other 2 weeks, we were with an evangelical church called Trinity Evangelical Church in Larnaca. And the man who preached there and run the service was the pastor. I have never listened to something as beautiful in my life. Because he simply said, at the beginning of his preach, I am here today because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm asking you the question, what has Jesus done for you? Oh, and your mind will go blank a bit, but he was quite clear. He was quite clear. Jesus has done for me what nothing else in history can do. He has given that man salvation. For him to receive the power of God, the anointing of God, he had to say on his knees, forgive me, Lord, for I am a sinner. And he recognised something special happened in salvation. And everything that he said that morning was based on his thankfulness for God's love for him. And I was, wow. After that, He also preached an amazing message. But can you see the point that I'm making? Is wherever you go tomorrow, might not be Cyprus, it might be, I don't know, Asda around the corner, or whatever supermarket you go to, or it might be an ordinary wet Monday morning, but God wants to speak to you. He wants to say to you, wherever you go, today, tomorrow, and every part of your life, I love you. That's every one of you here. No one's excluded from that love. You might think, I'm old, he doesn't love me anymore. He loves you more if you're old. I feel. He loves you if you're young. He wants to bless you abundantly. He wants you to know his spirit in you, his love in you, in me. And there's two or three things that Satan loves. I'm not going to focus on what he loves, except I want to remind you that God is greater. Jesus has come that we might have life in all of its fullness. So let's not settle for average. Let's go bang for the top draw prize. That top draw prize is his relationship in you. The joy of God in you. The peace of God in you. The hope of eternity in you. These things are in you. They're not in a book. They're not in a piece of music. They're in you. His spirit is in you. Get hold of it. Get hold of it. Because it is the most beautiful thing you can ever have. Satan is saying, no, you're not good enough. You don't need to pray today. Go and have a beer down the pub. Go and talk to your neighbour. Go to a football match. Go to do everyone. God is saying to you, come to me. Come to me. And so my message this morning is do it. Come to him. Pray. Seek his face. Know the beauty of God in you. Now, I'm going to tell you a short story. Because everybody likes stories. Jesus told stories in parables. This story, I'm sure I've put a title somewhere in here, but I can't see it. But it was about a miserable old woman. I don't know if you know any of them. I know quite a few miserable old men, and I'm probably the grumpiest of all of them. But this woman, and it's a true story. Okay, it's a true story. She worked for a large organisation, and every day she went into work, she'd done her job. She went home. She went through the motions. That was it. And at Christmas, her boss came along to her and said, I just want to say thank you for all you've done for the company this year. And gave her an envelope. Thank you very much. And she put the envelope in her desk. Didn't open it. Didn't do a thing about it. What difference is a Christmas card going to make to my everyday miserable life? And this happened for several years. And she'd got several of these envelopes in her desk. And rather sadly, during the course of one year, she suddenly died. And she didn't have children, but she did have some friends, and they had to come and clear out her desk. And what they found was several of these envelopes, and they opened them, and yes, there was a Christmas card, thank you, but also in that Christmas card was a share certificate for the company she worked for. So every year she'd been given a few shares in the company that she worked for. And they thought, oh. And there was 8 or 9 of these certificates. That woman worked for Walt Disney. And those shares were worth quite a bit of money. And she, because she was thinking, don't need to bother, just going through the motions, died not being aware that she'd got a fortune in the desk of her drawer. And so this word of God is the same thing. You might have this at home, but it's of no value to you or anybody if you leave it in your top drawer. It only becomes valuable to you when you say, this is the word of God. Thanks be to him that he has given it to you in all of its power for you to be encouraged to read it and have joy in your heart, as opposed to, whatever. It's there. Take it. Enjoy it. Be blessed. Jesus did not go to the cross so you could just go through the motions. He went to the cross so you can have life in all of its fullness. All of its fullness. Life in all of its fullness. Don't settle for anything less. His love for you is boom, top drawer. Full. He wants you to say, Lord. No, he doesn't want you. He wants to say to you, you have got so much more going for you than you allow yourself to realise. You are an overcomer. You are a conqueror. You cannot just go through the motions of life and then say, oh well, not much happening around here, is it? He wants you to go to that person at the bus stop tomorrow and say, would you like one of those? Look what's in here. Look, pictures and psalms and love and hope. That joy of the Lord that he gives to you is something, please, share it. Share it, because it is a gift to you. It's a gift to you. When God says, I love you, he doesn't mean, I love you. I love you. He means, I love you, full on. Are you going to accept that love? That power that comes with that love? And that beauty that comes with that love? That hope that comes with that love? That is there just for you to say, here I am, use me. Now Paul in this chapter is a bit of an interesting geezer, don't you think? Because we know in scripture, and we know it from this chapter, that he persecuted the church. He persecuted the church, and he felt that intellectually he was the smartest person ever. He had been taught by Gamaliel, he had gone to the right schools, he had got every tick box gone. Hey, I am the man. And he's walking along this dusty old road. I think they call it the Damascus Road. And all of a sudden, boom! God says, Saul, what the heck are you doing? And he made him blind. There. That's the power of God. He met with him on that road. And he said, why are you persecuting me? What did I do to you? And he brought God, that is, Saul, into a very special place of recognizing that it doesn't need to be like this. It can be different. It can be, wow, can be so different. And he said to him, bear in mind, couldn't see a damn thing, excuse my language, absolutely, boom, nothing. And he had to be taken by the hand. And he said, take it. I think it was Eli, of course. Might be wrong there. And when Eli sees this guy, he says, what is going on here? This guy's out to kill me. This guy's out to persecute me. This guy's out to... And you want me to pray for him and bless him. And Jesus made it very clear. Yes, he did. Very clear. And he did what was asked of him. And Paul, whose name then was Saul, changed. Completely and utterly and totally and forever changed. Is that you? Have you been changed by God's love? Are you going through motions that produce nothing but disappointment? Because we can do that if that's what we choose. Or we can choose to say, Lord, use me, make me bigger, make me better, help me to be who you want me to be. Paul changed from being a persecutor to being one of the most instrumental people that has ever been used to forward the gospel. So, don't think that you are not good enough. You are exactly who God wants you to be. And he's saying, I want you to know my joy. And he doesn't leave it there in that scripture that was so well read to us by Jenny. Doesn't leave it there. He did say in the scripture, look where I was, and I count all of that for refuge in comparison to the amazing joy of the gospel. All of that previous stuff, which was worldly and without purpose, he said, and yet people looked up to him and he was honoured by men and women and da 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 da. All of that, he's saying, counts for nothing. Zilch. Nothing. Counts for nothing. But what does count is God's love poured into him that changed him. And in that scripture, the clue that he gives us, he says, I run the race. I run the race. Now, let me tell you, it would be diabolical if I went outside there this morning and decided to run a race, because my running days are totally and completely and utterly, without doubt, finished. It would be... Race, you're joking, mate. You're joking. No, but run the race isn't always physically running the race. He's saying, get yourself prepared. Now, what does that mean? Now, I run a small catering company, and one of the things that I really like is food. Just love it. Can't get it. That's why I'm this shape. It's just bad news. But honestly, I just like what can be done in creating something from a raw source and feeding sometimes hundreds of people with that. Now, it's no good me turning up and everybody is ready for the ball, the celebration, the garden party, if I haven't prepared. No good putting on roast beef and Yorkshire pudding for everybody if I've forgotten the eggs to make the Yorkshire pudding. I have to be prepared. If people are going to have this lavish meal, to celebrate whatever it is that they want to celebrate, I've got to be prepared. And I think this is what Paul is saying. Am I doing right for time? Yeah. This is what Paul is saying. Be prepared. Don't just turn up and say, here I am. Be the person that is going to read this life-changing word. Part of the work that we do with Good News for Everyone is for 2 years we've been sending this power to the Caucasus in what was formerly Yugoslavia. Very, I'm going to say, Orthodox Catholic countries around there. And I think several thousand of these Bibles have been given out. And people trained to do that. And this woman came to one of these trainings and said, I don't really think that counts for anything. This counts for anything. This woman just happened to be ridden with cancer. She didn't have much time left. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? When we know that people are suffering and people are heartbroken and people just are stubborn and refuse to even look at this powerful world. But anyway, she decided, it's in her name, I've got nothing to lose. And she opened it. She started, oh, there's some help pages here. And she went to Matthew. She read all about the birth of Jesus, the way that he loved people, the way that he taught people, the way that he cared for people. She read this. The next day she got, she read something. She read about how Jesus was crucified. She read about how Jesus rose from the dead. She read that in him there is eternal hope. I mean, look at that, that's just amazing. Never heard of that because she brought up to me. Religious country that didn't really give people hope. She went to bed after 3 days of reading the Bible. And she woke up one morning quickly and utterly and totally healed of that body that was ridden with cancer. Brothers and sisters, friends, please recognize the power of God in this world where there is so much pain and so much suffering, so much heartache. One of the jobs I do apart from running the country company is to go to the local secondary school as a mentor. And this week, a young girl, good days, she was the carer for her mum who was 16. And, look, this 12-year-old girl is doing that after, looking after her mum. Go back to the thing. I do move around a bit. But the thing as we did an exercise, how you're feeling, and we had a picture of an iceberg. An iceberg you see above the surface, but underneath the surface there's usually three times more than there is above. And so it's put, what's making you tick right now, Daisy? And she was angry. So angry that she couldn't concentrate on much at all. Can you see that picture of that poor 12-year-old? And I thought, the world out there is suffering big time. And we can go with hope and with joy. And that's my message for you this morning. May we pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its power. I thank you, Father God, that it opens eyes that are blind. It gives joy to the brokenhearted. It gives hope to those who are poorly. It gives hope to everybody in the knowledge that our life is not just limited to what we see on a weekly, daily, monthly, yearly basis. It is a life that is leading to eternity. Help us to understand the richness of your word in our lives, that we can go out and we can help, encourage, and not just that, that we can be your mouthpiece where we go this day, tomorrow, whatever it is that we're doing. We pray that you'll bless us in serving you, in Jesus' name. Amen.